The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from the WGBB studios in Merrick, New York, this is Sports Talk New York.
What up, what up, what up, what up? Good Sunday evening, everybody, and a happy Easter on this Sunday to everyone. I know we're winding it down, but happy Easter anyway. Hope everyone enjoyed the Easter weekend and was safe out there. And as we wrap it up here, we're going to also say happy opening weekend for baseball. And if you're a Mets fan like myself, maybe not so happy. And we're going to touch on the Mets, we're going to touch on the Knicks, we're going to touch on the Yankees. Maybe a little Rangers, maybe a little March Madness. I'll be honest, I haven't paid attention to much March Madness, so I don't know. I don't want to lie to you and make stuff up. Maybe I could tell you who's in the Final Four if I look it up. If you want to call it, talk to me a little bit about that. Again, my name is Hector Moquette. No, not again. My name is Hector Moquette, coming to you from Washington Heights, from the WGBB studios out here in Merrick, Long Island. And yeah, man, if, like I said, if you're a Mets fan, then we're going to start with the Mets. And the number to call is 516-623-1240. Again, 516-623-1240. Listen, it's 159 games left. We all know that. 159 games left. The season's far from over. Things can change in a second, in a game, on a play, in a series. It doesn't matter. But when you've had the offseason that this team has had, when you've had the last season and a quarter that this team has had, and, you know, you go through the spring training that you have, where you have a little bit of a hope, and you get a little excited because of the pitching is performing well, but you still see the hitting, and you don't try to put too much into it because it's spring training and all that stuff, and you want to be rational, and you want to give it time, and you understand the approach that the team has taken, where, you know, they didn't go all in as far as going out there and getting the top free agents and stuff like that. But you still come into a season and you have hope because it's a new season. So you always have hope. And you start the way the Mets did by the first game. You get one hit and, you know, that's disappointing in itself, you know. And, okay, Quintana wasn't too much of a great start, but it wasn't a bad start either. You know, you want to see him go maybe a little bit longer and all that good stuff. But it doesn't leave a good feeling in your mouth, right? Like I said, just coming off of the offseason, and you're used to, as a Mets fan, to win the first game, especially the home opener. You know, you had all the hype this year with Pete Alonso being able to finally to play his first home opener with fans in the stands and all that good stuff, and you thought maybe he'd have a big game or a good game, and you thought, you know, they're going to win. But no, they give you an uninspired effort for the most part. Then you move on to Saturday. And that's a whole story in itself, right? You have, again, for the first, five innings or so, where you're doing nothing. No hits, basically, a couple of hits here and there. No runs or anything. But then you take a lead. You take a lead, and you're like, okay, here we go. And then, you know, Milwaukee does what it does, and they go ahead and you have the play with Rhys Hoskins, and things get a little bit out of hand there, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we go along, but just the game itself, and that just brings back more stuff, right? More of the feeling that you don't want to have as a Mets fan, but you have it because you're a Mets fan, and this is what you see. And now you start wondering again, are we going to start being pushed around, right? And you can argue again, and we'll get into it as we go along, as to how McNeil handled that and whether it's an illegal play, not a legal play, whether it's a dirty play. It's obviously a legal play. Let's get that out of the way right away. It's obviously a legal play. But the way it's done, to me, it bothered me, you know. When a guy slides feet first into the base and the first part of his body that touches the base is maybe his midsection or his underarm, listen, what are we trying to do here? You know what I'm saying? Now, you slide feet first and feet hit the bag and you go right through it and you run through him and you stay holding on to the bag, I have no problem with that. But again, by the letter of the law, it's legal. You know, McNeil took exception to it. They feel like Hoskins has done this before. You can tell me, oh, McNeil's a hothead, and if he was really bothered by it, he should have done something. Okay, anyways, whatever. Back to the game itself. You know, after that, you're thinking, okay, maybe these guys wake up and show some fight, and McNeil himself had a chance to answer with the bat, and he does nothing. You know, but guess who does something? Rhys Hoskins does. And Rhys Hoskins did something pretty much all weekend until the end there. And listen, I'm sorry, I forgot the play was in the first game. What am I talking about here, right? And then we moved to Saturday and it continued where Rhys Hoskins dominated and had what, 5 RBIs, was 3 for 3, his first 3 at bats. McNeil still hitless, couple opportunities, did nothing at the plate. You know, so you're watching this and you get frustrated. And again, you're thinking it's a long season, you know, but on the other side of that, you have Severino, whom, as Mets fans, you know, we're hoping this guy's going to come here and figure it out. And, you know, we've watched him playing on the other side of town. We know what the situation is with him. We know he's gone through injuries. We know the whole pitch-tipping stuff. You know, has he lost maybe some stuff? The velocity seems to be there. But he had a good spring training. He talked about changes that he made in the off-season, changes in his sleeping pattern, changes in the way he trained. All of that good stuff, right? He talked about watching video to work on the pitch tipping, and it seemed to maybe be working. Whatever he's doing is working as far as spring training. And he wasn't good. He was not good. He got hit hard. Even the balls that were caught were hit hard. And that wasn't encouraging. That wasn't encouraging at all. And yeah, the team fought back. You know, you had, Brett Beatty with a big pinch hit home run, which was great to see. His preparation, the way he talked about he was preparing the whole game to pinch hit. And even when he was told he wasn't going to pinch hit anymore, he still was ready to hit. And he comes in the first pitch off a lefty, which is the reason why he's not playing, and hits a home run. So that's great to watch. You know, and then you have Pete Alonso to hit his home run. You already had Alvarez having hit a home run. You know, and Pete and Alvarez, shout out to them because they're the only ones really doing anything on this team. As far as offensively, I know Marte had a home run the first day. And I'm not sure what else he's done after that. But everybody else, nowhere to be found, especially as far as the big guys. We've mentioned McNeil already. You know, Francisco Lindor, Brandon Nimmo, do they know the season has started? Brandon Nimmo and Francisco Lindor, both with terrible at-bats for the most part. You want to tell me Francisco Lindor had a couple of hard-hit balls today? Okay, yesterday I think he hit a ball hard. He talked about hitting a home run foul the first day and missing pitches. Well, I'm tired of hearing that from him. But we'll get into all that stuff later. But again, man, it's just a tough way to start the season when you, all the excitement, you wait around all winter for baseball, and this team rewards you with these 3 performances, because then you go into today, and again, it's more of the same nonsense. You know, more of the I don't even want to say approach, because what are we doing on offense? There is no approach. There is no approach. It's not, no take into account what the situation is, whether there's men on base, what the count is, or anything like that. It's every swing it seems like we're trying to hit a 5-run home run. And those are impossible. I'm tired of watching this team have opportunity after opportunity, whether it be 2 men out, less than 1 man out, it doesn't matter, and they can't get the job done. And then the next half inning or so, whatever the case may be, the other team comes and they get a run or two in. But there's 159 games left. And it's not over. And they can turn it around. But what we've seen in the first 3 games is hard not to think same old, same old. It really is. It really is. And, you know, it's funny because you go on social media and immediately when the team doesn't perform well, what you see is fans going against each other and trying to fight each other. And that to me doesn't make sense. Let's talk about the team. Let's talk about the team and what they can do better. And if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. But to start killing each other like the way I see on social media just doesn't make much sense to me. And then, as a New York sports fan, and again, you're tuning into WGBB Sports Talk New York. The number to call is 516-623-1240. We will get to your calls if you make them, and I hope you do make them. I don't want to talk to myself, but I will. But moving along, then, being a New York sports fan, and whether I like this team or not, you know, you tune in, especially like the first day, you know, and it's funny. little background here, little funny story for you guys, right? As I transition to the Yankees, right? So, I was a little sick this week, beginning from maybe Wednesday, and then Thursday is when it really hit me, and Friday and Saturday, I was out of it to maybe about Saturday night. And today is really when I actually started to feel normal, feel like myself again. But and then besides that, I got this mess making me sick. Right, so I get a little sick, and then, you know, like I said, on Wednesday and Thursday, I'm feeling a little funny, but we're okay. And there's no Mets baseball. I'm a baseball fan. I want to watch baseball. I'm in New York. I watch the Yankees. You know what I'm saying? I'm rooting against them. I want them to lose every game, but I watch them. And I'm watching this game, and of course, the Yankees doing what they do. And listen, you could talk to me about them not making the playoffs last year and all of that nonsense, man. As Mets fans, we talk about sustained success. Well, that's what the Yankees have had. I know they haven't won the World Series since 2009, and for them, those are bust every single year that they don't win the World Series, because that's the approach they have, and it's great. It's great. And that's the approach that I want to have. But I'm watching on Thursday, back to that, and listen, if you've heard me speak anywhere, here, when I've done the show by myself, when I've done the shows with the other guys, Rob and Eric, I've talked about my love for Juan Soto and the fact that I want him on the Mets, and when he was traded to the Yankees, that made me sick. That almost made me want to vomit. That almost made me want to vomit. And you see the game, and the Yankees make their comeback, and they're up there in the ninth, and you have the play from Juan Soto where he throws the guy out at the plate, right? And I make a post on X where I'm joking, like, this makes me sick. And I use the vomit emoji. Excuse me. I'm sorry if I make you queasy here. And I use the vomit emoji, right? Because it literally does make me sick to watch him and Aaron Judge celebrate after they make that play. A guy that I wish was in the blue and orange. I wish we made that trade. Because as much as people want to think that Steve Cohen is going to go out there and give him more money than anybody can in the offseason, I do not see that happening. Especially if he keeps playing the way he's doing and having the influence that he's having on the Yankees, right? So I make that post talking about how that makes me sick. And I swear to you, 2 hours later, I am literally sick. So I spent Thursday night, Friday morning, you already know, express train from my bedroom to the bathroom. Express train from my bedroom to the bathroom. Now, I don't know if it really was Juan Soto and the Yankees, but man, that was tough. And then when I'm starting to finally feel better and I'm trying to watch my team, they make me sick too. And then you see the Yankees go out there with their question marks, even though they have high expectations, right? Let's be honest here. For the Yankees, it's pretty much World Series or bust. But they go out there and handle business against one of their rivals, against a team that's been, like, you know, really giving it to them for years. Eliminating from the playoffs. You know, it's been a house of horrors for them pretty much out there in Houston. And they win in comeback fashion every single game pretty much. And meanwhile, I'm watching my team can't even score a damn run. And then they have guys like Oswaldo Cabrera, who's not even supposed to play, gets a shot because LeMahieu gets hurt, and John Birdie, who they get in the trade, can't make it on the fight, or his fighter's name, whatever the hell it was. He gets a start, and he kills it! And he's all over the first three wins. Him and Juan Soto. And then you find out, and you hear him talking about the influence, and how he followed Juan Soto around throughout the offseason, and all that good stuff, and that makes me even more sick! Because here we are trying to force that kind of relationship and that kind of influence with a J.D. Martinez who's nowhere to be found still. Who should have took Jeff McNeil with him and kept him in extended spring training. But anyways, I think we have some calls. And before I keep you guys waiting, I'm going to get to those. And we'll keep the conversation going. And again, this is Sports Talk New York on WGBB radio. You can catch it online. You can catch it 95.9 FM, 12:40 a.m. But really, online is probably the best way to catch it. But let's talk to Eric. Eric, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Hector?
Hey, man, nothing much. Trying to not lose my mind here with these Mets, man. How you doing?
Good. So yeah, that was a great story about the feeling sick. But you know what?
Yeah, great for you to hear. It wasn't great for me to go through it.
I'm sure. I mean, I know plenty of people who've been going through it, but you know, it's funny to relate it to the baseball. But you know, look, everything you've been saying the last couple of days about it's so early in the season, which is true. Here's what I'm worried about, though. Okay, I mean, and obviously it's true. It's only the first weekend, but you know, all three games they fell behind right away in the games, and that's what worries me because this team, as it looks, and we still don't know yet. It's still early, but as it looks. You know, if they fall down, you know, even a couple of runs, it looks like it's a struggle to, to make their way back. So we'll have to, you know, wait and see how it plays out. But, you know, we still got, what, about a week or so before J.D. Martinez joined the team. And then, you know, who knows what's going to go on with the pitching. I mean, now they're saying Miguel might need an MRI because he had some sort of, you know, I think it was a shoulder issue or something. I mean, come on. You know, it's just, you know, it's ridiculous. But I don't even know the last time he got swept open season, quite honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's happened much. Gary mentioned it during one of the games. It might have been today, but I was in and out of the game today. I kind of been out of all of the games, and I guess it's not a bad thing, to be honest with you, because who could watch the entirety of these games? But that's the thing, Eric. Like, where's the fight? That's what we want to see from the team. Where's the fight? And I know some people want to say, well, Hector, what are you talking about? They fought back yesterday. Let's be honest. Sometimes when you're down 6-1, it's not that hard. Where's the fight when the game is still close and you have a chance to make a dent either way? Where's the fight there? Where's the fight when you get pushed around and after the play with McNeil? Okay, and again, we can argue about how McNeil reacted. I know McNeil's not the most popular guy amongst fans, but, you know, it happened. It happened already, right? And, you know,
you already know how I feel, Eric.
He should have got hit immediately the next day, right? He didn't get hit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
But then besides that, he gets a, however the heck, I forget how he got on the first time, that second game, right? And he runs around first base, and as he's coming back to the base, well, obviously he must have been hit. As he's coming back to the base, he kind of like bumps or whatever,
yep,
Pete Alonso.
Yep. Yeah.
Dude, what are we doing?
Yep.
If I'm Pete Alonso, I push him back and I say, enough, dude. You talked about in the post game how you know he has a history with doing that to Jeff McNeil. Jeff McNeil is supposed to be your buddy. If anybody likes Jeff McNeil on the Mets, it's Pete Alonso. So stand up to this dude right there and give him a little shove back. You don't got to fight or anything like that, but say, dude, enough is enough. We had enough of your crap, and if you keep doing it, we're going to do something about it. And maybe the guy stops, but you see him, he's giving you the crying signs from the bench. There's no respect.
Right.
The closer, whoever
right.
the hell it is, Uribe, I never heard of this guy, gives you a shush sign to the fans, and you guys do nothing. Continuously get pushed around. We see this team get hit by pitches, all kinds of stuff, and there's no fight ever since like August of 2022. You know it, Eric.
Right.
You know it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the Brewers ran all over them this series. I mean, they just stole
they did everything better than them.
Right
they played better defense than them. They ran better than them.
Yeah,
they hit in situational hitting better than them.
Yeah.
They pitched better than them. They did everything better than them.
Yeah.
It's sick.
Yeah.
And here we are now. What are we waiting for? For the next savior, J.D. Martinez, you tell me. J.D. Martinez come back? Is J.D. Martinez going to get
it?
Is J.D. Martinez going to face better than
we're going to get a couple of rainouts based on the weather this week, so we'll see what happens. But
I hate rainouts, but I think at this point I might embrace it.
Well, you know what? They might need a couple of days off, so hopefully it works out. But keep going strong, and I'll be listening. You got it.
Eric, only been through games, man. Thank you for the call, brother. I appreciate you.
You got it.
Thank you. Yeah, man. And that's the thing. Like, even Brandon Nimmo, whom I love, whom I defended all of last year, because some people were frustrated with the, you know, adjustment of his approach or the change in his approach. Well, this year's been terrible. So you need to decide, Brandon Nimmo, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to be a home run hitter, or are you going to be a hitter the way you were shaping out to be? Because I want the hitter. I like the home runs, but I don't think you're trying to become one of these launch angle guys where it's home run or nothing. Don't give me this three true outcome garbage. I don't want you to turn into that kind of player. Let's keep going to these phone calls. And I think this is my friend Patty. Patty, how
Hi.
You doing? How are you, Patty?
Hi, Hector.
Let me calm down. Let me come down and talk to the lady. How are you, Patty?
I'm okay. I didn't think you would be hosting the show. I thought you were calling into the show.
No, they actually let me host this thing here. Hopefully we don't burn the studio down, but I think it'll be all right. And they got Brian here watching me on the other side here.
Yeah, so this is wonderful.
How are you feeling about this team? I'm pretty sure you're going to bring some positivity here to my
I don't know because I'm with you. I had to turn down my radio, so I didn't catch the last like 10 minutes of what you said. But I did catch the first half, and it's absolutely. I mean, I was so pumped watching the spring training, and I wasn't really paying that much attention to the core because I'm like, well, it's the core, and they're trying to size up all these prospects and all this other stuff, so they're taking it easy. But then towards the end of spring training, I'm like, all right, what is happening here? Why isn't anybody hitting? And the pitching, I felt, was good. I thought we were okay with the pitching. Then we come to the Milwaukee Brewers, and let me just tell you the one thing that just who built that team?
Yeah, you know, and you saw a lot of that today on X and stuff. Everybody's like, oh, at least the positive is that, you know, the team that just kicked out Butts and the way they kicked out Butts, let's remember that it was built by David Stearns. And yeah, I mean, that's great. And I guess that's something that we can look at and give us some hope. Like, you know what? We give this guy time, which, listen, I want to make sure we know this here. I am not saying, you know, these guys, we give them time. I have all the confidence in the world that in time they will turn this around. But I say this, you, Patty, you know this. We talk on X and stuff, and we talk privately. I say this all the time. I react to what's going on at the moment, and this is what we're doing here. We're talking about what's going on at the moment, and what's going on at the moment doesn't feel good. Even though you feel good about what the farm system looks like and some of the prospects you got down there, I always say you can't expect all of them to come up and be hits. I mean, we're seeing it right now with our own eyes, right? We're seeing it with our own eyes. We have a great one in Alvarez. I don't think we can debate that. We have a great one in Francisco Alvarez. But we're not so sure about Brett Beatty. We're not so sure about Mark Vientos, you know. We're not even so sure about a Tyler McGill, who, okay, maybe he wasn't a highly touted prospect, but it's someone who's come from our farm system. And again, today, now goes down with another injury. He's going to go for an MRI or whatever the case may be. So, you know.
He's bullpen. I don't know why they keep trying to make him an SP, because he's bullpen. No. I've said that for, I don't know, 3 years now.
No, absolutely, and I agree with you, and it's something that some of us have talked about for a while, and shout out to my guy Carlos, who I saw on Exit, I hadn't seen him in a while, and he was talking about it again, and he's been very vocal about it. He's been very vocal about the fact that Tyler McGill should probably be switched to a bullpen guy, and for whatever reason, the Mets have been reluctant to do this over time, and they've seen it happen with guys that they let go, and then it happens. More famous, probably Jason Isringhausen, you know, from Generation K, where they let him go to St. Louis, and was it St. Louis or Oakland first? I forget who the hell it was, but whatever. The point is, he went somewhere and became a great closer. Meanwhile, we were trying to force him into a starter. You know, we probably should have done that with a Noah Syndergaard or something like that, to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, I agree. That might be the move with Tyler McGill. Absolutely.
Even Jake, you know, but I'm sure Jake wouldn't. Jake wants to be in.
I don't know. Jake was good. Jake was good at what he was doing.
I still love him. I'll always love him. No, but, no. You know, his arm was shot, so they should have just retired him to the bullpen.
Yeah, I don't know that. Or maybe he should not have tried to throw 105 miles an hour all the time. Or throw his slider at 97, too, which was insane. You know what I'm saying? so that may have been a little to do with that. But, Patty, thank you so much for checking in. It was great to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, too.
No, absolutely. Thank you so
much. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets. Yeah, and listen, man, that's where I'm at. And she mentioned a little bit about the core, and I wanted to worry too much about the core. And when you talk about the core, right, one of the big main guys of the core is Francisco Lindor. Listen, and I got to be careful when I talk about Francisco Lindor, because for whatever reason, people think I hate Francisco Lindor. I don't hate Francisco Lindor. I don't hate anybody that plays on my team, to be honest with you. I want to see these guys do well, but I am critical, good or bad. I speak on what I see, what I feel, right? And I got to be honest, I'm so tired of the whole Francisco Lindor slow start stuff. Like, dude, you've known this for a few years now. You're a professional ball player. Can we try to do something to change that? Or are you just okay with this? You know what I'm saying? And again, it's three games. There's a lot of season left. And I know people are going to say, heck, at the end of the season, his numbers will be there. But you know what? Me personally, I don't care about these guys' numbers being there. You know what I care? It's how you're impacting the game on a day-to-day basis to win. And yes, a guy like Francisco Lindor, who plays great defense for the most part, can impact the game even if he doesn't get a hit. I understand that by playing defense, but let's be honest. He probably impacted the game negatively a couple of times this past weekend as far as defense. When you saw him throw a sailor ball way over Peter Lonsell's head, right? But what are you doing, Francisco Lindor, to try to change what has not worked? You know, you hear the greats all the time talk about in the offseason, talk about even during the season, doing things to try to improve their game, to try to improve upon their weaknesses. Is Francisco Lindor doing anything to improve that? I'm not so sure. And again, I'm not trying to pick on him. Like I mentioned Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo, what are you doing? Yeah, last year and I think the year before, it worked for you to get your season started late and all that good stuff. And, you know, again, are you going to be a power hitter or are you going to be a hitter? It's time to figure that out because you're not having the good at-bats that we're used to seeing from you. And this goes to the whole team. And I'm disappointed because I was hoping with Eric Chavez back at the head coach, at the batting coach, that this was going to change. And, you know, maybe it's going to take time. Maybe it takes a little bit more than spring training to undo all of the bad habits from last year where they were up there hunting just to try to hit for power all the time. Which is good when you're ahead in the count. But like I said earlier, there's times when you need to adjust. Omar Narvaez, you come up with the bases loaded. The guy's been a little wild. Do you need to swing at the first pitch? And when you do you need to go for the grand slam? Which, yes, it's great. We take it. But really, all we need is a hit, my guy. All we need is a hit. And it seems like over and over and over, you see the same thing. Early swinging and counts that maybe you shouldn't. And listen, I understand that sometimes you want to jump on the pitcher. Especially if he's been a little wild, there's a mound visit or whatever, you know he's trying to throw a strike. He just walked the bases loaded. The last thing he wants to do is walk the next guy. I understand when you want to jump on a guy. Believe me, I do. But man, come on. And again, I saw today, which finally the Yankees were actually ahead, but Houston comes back and ties it. And what do you have? A professional hitter like Juan Soto up there with the game on the line. And what does he do? Does he let the situation get too big? He knows what they're going to do. He knows nobody wants to pitch to him. And yeah, you're going to tell me, well, heck, he has protection on deck. And Aaron Judge, yeah, whatever. I understand that. It's not like he hit a cookie down the middle. And I only saw one highlight of the hit. But it looked like it was high in the way. And what does he do? Boom! Right into left field for a hit. Go ahead, run scores, ball game. When am I going to see that as a Met fan? I don't know. But it needs to start happening soon. And again, it's a lot of season left, and we're only here talking about and reacting to the first weekend, which has been unpleasant to watch. It's been unpleasant to watch for the most part. And you hope with a team like Detroit, who just came from sweeping, yeah, the White Sox, who not much is expecting them, but they must be playing well. When you get a sweep, you got to be doing something right, as bad as the other team may be. So we'll see what the Mets are going to do now in these next three games, and we'll see if they play them, because I think there's some rain expected, like our friend Patty mentioned, and I had seen that in the weather. I think rain is expected for the next 3 or 4 days, to be honest with you. So I don't know if they'll play. Maybe that's the best thing that could happen to them. And I've neglected to mention the Knicks. Let me see what's going on with this Knicks game. Oh, okay. Third quarter. Knicks looks like with a 2-point lead. I may be a little delayed because I'm just looking it up online. And that's another thing which we'll touch on in the second half of the show here as we're approaching the break here. But for the Knicks, man, just got to get healthy, man. We've talked about it before a few times that I've been here. And they're finishing off the month well. You hope they get this win. You know, tough loss the other night to the Spurs. But we'll get into it, man. And there's a lot of talk about who do the Knicks need back? Do they need OG back? Do they need Randle back? Do they need both back? If they get OG back, can they go on a run? Yeah, they could go on a little bit of a run, but they're not going on no title run like I think is possible if they were fully healthy. And it's unfortunate, right? These injuries have been unfortunate, and we'll see if we are able to get fully healthy, and we'll talk about it on the other side some more. But finish it off with this win tonight against OKC, who's been a good team. And finish off the month strong, and it'll be, I forget what the record is, but I'll look it up in the break. You know, and keep holding on to those first, one of those first four spots. They're in the third spot right now. We'll see what happens by the end of the night. Not sure what's happening in the other games. But just looking forward to see what this team can do once it gets to playoff, which we're getting to now. And then you have the Rangers on the other side, who had a phenomenal win yesterday. And they keep holding it down, and they're in the top seed, almost getting to the playoffs too. And you hope that they could go on a run, and it could be like 94 all over again. And maybe we get both of these teams to go to the finals and actually win. And I've said it before, man, because I'm more of a Knicks fan, of course I would want the Knicks to come out and the winner if it's only one of them. But on that note, let's take a break, and we'll come back. And again, we'll take your calls if you make them. 516-623-1240. Sports Talk New York, baby.
To Sports Talk New York. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on Long Island's WGBB. Broadcasting on 95.9 FM and 1240 AM. Or listen live online at WGBBRadio.com. Stay connected to Sports Talk New York on WGBB by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WGBB Sports Talk. You're listening to Sports Talk New York on Long Island's WGBB. And now, back to the show.
And we're back again to WGBB Sports Talk New York, the Blunt Thoughts Hour, hosted by your boy Hector Moquette. Hector from Washington Heights, if you know me from social media, well, really from X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And also if you've ever heard me call on WFAN in New York. And we went to the break touching a little bit on the Knicks. And listen, man, the Knicks have been fun to watch all year. And I mentioned briefly that Spurs game a few days ago. And that's where I'm at with the injury stuff, right? Because as fun as it is and as good as this team is as far as defense, and some of the role players, because not all of them have been performing well, let's be honest here. But for the most part, you know, the Precious, you know, the OGs and all that good stuff. But, you know, OG needs to get back. But when you have a game like they did with the Spurs, right, and Jalen Brunson is phenomenal, and he does his MVP stuff and goes out there and gives you 61 games, but you get not much else from anywhere else, right? Dudes who had been phenomenal for a couple of games, who had, what was it, 10 threes the game before. Dante with the 11 or 12 threes two games before that. They were, you know, a little bit off or whatever, which is expected. Those guys were lights out for a while. So you expect them to go through a little bit of a down there or whatever the case may be. But, again, I understand how big OG is on both sides of the court, right? I understand the defense that he could provide 1-5, being able to guard 1-5, the best player on the other team, all of that good stuff is great, and you want that back, and we need that back. But when I hear people talk about, oh, we need OG instead of Julius Randle, that's what drives me crazy. That's what drives me crazy. Because, again, you cannot watch a game with the Spurs when you're struggling for scoring and then tell me that this team doesn't need Julius Randle. Because, yeah, OG's good, and OG can knock down the three and all of that good stuff, but he's not Julius Randle. And I know as Knicks fans, we worry about Julius Randle and his ability in the playoffs and his disappearing in the playoffs and all that good stuff. And I know the Hawks is one thing. You know, last year, I don't want to hold too much against him because he was dealing with an injury then as well, which is another reason why I worry about him coming back and, you know, dealing with this injury when we know that he actually needs surgery and is doing his best to actually fight and come back and play through that. You know, but don't tell me that this team can go out there and win a title without Julius Randle. Maybe they can. And listen, if that's the way they have to go to battle, let's do it. And I'll be there rooting every night and hoping that they do it. Because, again, I do really believe that if this team was fully healthy, the way that they've played, the way that we've seen them play the little time that they were all there besides Mitch when the trade was made and before the Bojan and whatever, and Burks deal, there was, but you know, reason to believe that they can make it to a final. Yeah, you got to get some breaks. Who doesn't get breaks on their way to championships, on their way to final or whatever? Every team gets a break. You got to better to be lucky than good, right? But you also make your luck, too. And the Knicks make their luck with the way they play, with the way that they're coached. Because let's give Tibbs some credit, too, the way that he's coached his team. And the way that he has this team buying into playing team defense night in and night out. You know, but don't come here and tell me that the Knicks do not need Julius Randle. Because they need Julius Randle to actually go out there and make a finals and actually have a chance to actually win a finals. Now, I don't know if it'll be a healthy Julius Randle that they'll get back. I don't know what version of Julius Randle they'll get back. I suspect that it's going to be an outside shooting Randle, a Randle that uses the three-point shot again the way he did early on when he came to the Knicks. But as long as we have that scoring, as long as we have that player that the other team has to respect, no matter how some Knicks fans feel about him, I think that goes a long way. I really think that goes a long way. So I'm anxious. I'm anxious as much as I'm enjoying watching this team. And I think this team, they will be good. Even the way they are now, they'll make some noise in the playoffs if they get the right matchup, especially if they stay in that top four. They'll make some noise. But are they going to be able to make the kind of noise that I really want them to make, that you really want them to make, that we all want them to make as Knicks fans, that we've been waiting for years, and that we finally thought we were getting close to this year, and now these injuries have derailed that? I don't know. I don't know. But we have, what is it, maybe, I forget how many games they have left to try to figure all that out. But we shall see. And I think we have someone else on the line here. Let's get to Jack. What do you want to talk about, brother?
Hey, Hector, am I with you?
You're with me. If you're Jack, well, you're with me.
You know, I tuned in a little late, but I was going to do some math, but you're into the Knicks, and I want to remind you of something that you once said to me about the Mets, and it's how I feel about the Knicks. I know you think of me as an old guy, nostalgic for the old days of the Knicks, and I go way back. From 69, but you know, you once told me about the Mets when you were pissed at them, that this team's going to have to make me fall in love with them again because you were so annoyed and so pissed.
I'm still waiting for that, Jack, by the way. I'm still waiting for that, to be totally honest with you. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're kind of in, you know, we're in no man's land with the Mets right now. It's early. We know it's early, but it's not the kind of start you want to see. And all the things we dread are showing up. So, but with the Knicks, you know, I give them credit, you know, in response to what you're saying. I fell out of love with that organization, not with the team. I always loved the team, but I fell out of love with the organization. And I have to say that the team is pulling me back, and I'm not, you know, I'm with you with Randall, and I'm not sure they're a championship team, but I know when I watch Brunson and a couple of other players who play roles that they have some championship players on that team, which is what will make you fall in love again, is that you see things who have the character, the talent, and the attitude to be champions. And so, you know, at least we can discuss it, you know? We can discuss it. And for 20 years, it was a waste of time. So, so that's my Nick thing. But, so I don't know. Anything you wanted to ask me, you know, after our conversation today about the Mets, any final thoughts about that I missed from you or that, you know, you sent you a bunch of texts. So I don't know if anything grabbed you.
No, I honestly was busy and then I was on my way here and trying to prepare. So I wasn't really able to get through those texts, buddy. So really,
you know, one thing, let me get to one thing. Sorry to cut in, but you know, I just wanted to give you something. You know, I think a big part of it is that this identity issue, like, I think there are so many guys in the lineup, they're trying to force things instead of letting things happen. Like, there's no way, there's no doubt that Nimmo is not a home run hitter. That doesn't mean he can't hit home runs. You know, Bernie hit a lot of home runs, but he was not a home run hitter. Even Carlos Beltran, who was a legitimate power hitter, would say, I don't think of myself as a home run hitter. I think of myself as a double hitter or sometimes hits home runs.
Most guys that hit home runs say that. That's the funny thing. Yeah. Most guys that hit home runs, at least in the time that, you know, 80s, 90s, would say that. I'm not trying to hit home runs. It just happens. I try to stay up the middle. You try to hit the ball hard. So I'm totally with you. And one thing before I let you go on, before I let you go on, one thing that I can't get away with, and I've talked to you about this, and I've said it on my videos on X and all that good stuff, is the quotes that I read last year from both Barnes when he was the hitting coach last year and Brandon Nimmo, where they talked about how the approach was to get a fastball, to get a pitch that they can hammer. You understand what I'm saying? Not just try to put the ball in play, not take the pitch the other way because your situation calls for it. None of that. We'll let that pitch go. That's a hittable pitch. We'll let it go because we want to hammer the other pitch. We want to get a pitch that we can drive. And yeah, there's a time to do that. There's a time and place to do that. You don't have to do that all the time. And that's the frustrating part about it. That's the frustrating part about it.
Situations matter, and you know I hate to hear those kind of quotes because I just don't think that's how the game's played, because you never know what cards you're going to be dealt. You could be waiting all day to get that pitch you think is the pitch that you have to hammer. Meanwhile, you're missing something that can allow you to actually be productive. And I think too many of those key guys, McNeil, Nimmo, not so much Lindor. He's more of an intuitive player, but still, I just think as an organization, too much thinking, not enough reacting. And I don't care what anybody says. See the ball, hit the ball. You know, you cannot tell the pitcher where to pitch you. You know,
no.
So as long as they're thinking more than reacting, and letting the muscle memory and the talent take over, I think we're doomed.
Absolutely, you know? Jack. And thank you for the call. But I got a couple other.
You got it.
I want to get to you, man. But I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much. But yeah, man, and that's something that I talked about this weekend too, man. Too many at bats, it seemed like they're still thinking up there. They're still thinking, okay, what's the count? Okay, in this count, this guy throws this, X percentage of the time, or this guy, this pitch, this percentage of the time, and this pitch, and what should I wait for here? Instead of, you know what? You come in prepared, understanding what the guy does. You understand what he does. You understand some of the tendencies. But then you go up there, and like my man Jack said, you see the ball, hit the ball. And I know some people you hear it sometimes, even from ball players, you say, oh, I don't want to hear about see the ball, hit the ball. That's not that easy. Okay. Whatever. But you don't think. It's not meant to be thinking up there at the plate. And listen, not that you don't think, right? Because as batters going along, you hear you guys talking about it all the time, right? You hear, as a matter of fact, I'm going to take you back. You hear, Kirk Gibson famously talk about how he knew Dennis Eckersley through that slider or whatever the heck it was, and he was totally expecting it in that count, and then he hit that home run. So, of course, that stuff happens. But what the Mets are trying to do, or what it seems like they're trying to do, as an ignorant sports fan like me, when I'm watching, is like they're thinking too damn much. I'm sorry. They're thinking too damn much. But let me hear what my guy Anthony has to say about that or anything else. Anthony, how you doing, man?
What's up, Hector? This is AF over on X, man.
My brother, man. How are you, man? Thanks so much for calling
in. You know my first name now, first and foremost.
There you go, man. Hey, you know mine, so it's only fair, right? But I've never been
exactly. Only a matter of time, man, if you're going to know my first name eventually, man.
There you go.
Now, I hope you're doing good, man, on a Sunday night. And, I'm watching the Knicks game, trying not to get, too worked up on it because, I know this Thunder team, they're pretty good, man. They're young, they're hungry, they're pretty aggressive, but I like what I see so far. But, bro, you hit it on the nail, man. We need Randle and OG, man. It's not just we need one or the other. We need both. And Randle's an important piece, man. I think he is a difference maker on the court, man, especially with Brunson. So he's definitely the most physical person I feel out there and takes a lot of pressure out there, especially on the defensive side of things. But I like what I see so far, man. I just, like you said, man, I hope that this team we can get healthy and, just roll into the playoffs with Mitch there and OG and Randle. But, it's just one of those things, man. Just got to stay healthy and just get to where we need to get to, man. As long as we're in the top 16, I'm cool with it. I don't want to be in that play-in tournament,
Heck no, man. I don't want to be in the play-in tournament. And honestly, Anthony, I'll call you AF because I'm used to calling you AF.
Yeah, man, you call me whatever. Don't matter. I'll respond.
No. Listen, we've been in the top 4 or 5 pretty much the whole season, definitely the whole second half of the season. I want to stay there at this point. You know what I'm saying? So keep playing the way they're playing. I'm just taking a glance now because I haven't really been paying too much attention to the game. Usually when I'm in here, I've had the luck almost every Sunday night that I do these things, the Knicks are playing. And I usually put it on my phone and I try to watch. But today I say, I'm doing a show by myself. I need to be focused. Let me not do that. I'm not that good. I'm not that good to be trying to multitask like that. But I'm taking a glance because I do have just a score up or whatever, the game cast online. And I see that they're up. You know, maybe a little delayed, but I see they're up 8 with about 3 minutes left in the third quarter. So that's good. But one thing you mentioned is, you know, Randall and him being, you know, one of our physical guys. And I worry about that, AF. I really do. Like I said, I worry what kind of version of Randall we're going to get. And is he going to be able to really play that kind of game? You know what I'm saying? Dealing with what he's dealing with. Because we know the surgery is inevitable. It's not like, oh, yeah, you know, he's been cleared and he's going to rehab and the surgery that he's not. No, the surgery, I believe, I mean, I feel like just from listening to him, listening to what they've said, is something that's going to happen regardless. So is he going to be able to really play that physical game that we used to see, that bully ball that we used to see from Julius Randle that we love, that we probably will need a little bit of in the playoffs? I don't know, but I still want him back. I still want him back.
Agree, man. Agree. 100%, man. I hope we can get him back. He's like one of my favorite, you know, players on the team. I like this team. I mean, I like when we have RJ Barrett and Quickley, but, you know, I love, you know, I love OG and what he brings, and I've really enjoyed Precious in this team. I just want them to win, man. I just want them to get healthy and win. Just to touch up on the Mets before, you know, I let you continue with your show.
No,
let's talk a little bit about the Mets series. I know we talked a little bit earlier when we had our space. Honestly, look, it's so easy to just go hypercritical with the Mets. We're Mets fans, you know what I mean? Like, it's so easy, right? We got a series against Detroit. You know, but what I care about, if we can take the series, I'm cool with it. If we start off the year 2-4, I'm fine with it. I'd rather try to take the series. Let's see if we can win game one, you know, and then if we can win game 2 or 3, you know, I want to win all 3. Don't get it twisted, but I, you know, this is, let's just go off.
Baby steps now, right?
Try to win the first game. Was that Hector?
I said we're going to take baby steps now, right? I want to win every game,
right,
too.
Right. Let's just win the first game, and then, let's, you know, it'd be nice if we could win the first game, because then it at least takes the pressure off and trying to win both games, you know what I mean? 2 and 3, but that's the season that we start, you know, that we were hoping for. I mean, there's some stuff that I've liked so far, seeing with Alvarez and, you know, some spots with Beatty, too. Alonso going the opposite field, you know, with hitting-wise. Pitching, you know, has been a little bit up and down, but it's early in the season, you know what I mean? So, like, if we play a little bit better baseball against Detroit, then we could just say it's just one of those, like, they're the kryptonites, you know, the Brewers, essentially, which is wonderful to know that we end the season playing against them in Milwaukee, where we never even win. So, yeah, that's going to be great. We're in a playoff hunt, so.
That should be tons of fun. But, AF, man, thanks again for checking in. I want to try to
absolutely.
Get, I think I got one more person on hold before we wrap this up. And so
absolutely.
I want to try to get to
the okay?
I appreciate
you. Having
you
me on.
Thank you. Yeah. you know, and AF touched on a few of the things there, a few of the positives, man, which is, you know, Pete Alonso and Francisco Alvarez. And again, even like I mentioned earlier, you know, even the pinch-hit home run by Brett Beatty. But we'll finish up with a little bit of that stuff. I want to get to the next person we have on hold here before. I think it might be the last one. As we're almost reaching the end here. This hours go fast, man. We've got about 11 more minutes. Again, WGBB Sports Talk New York, the Blunt Thoughts Hour, hosted here by your guy Hector from Washington Heights. Let's go to Joe, see what he got for us. Joe, what's up?
Hector, my man. What's going on, bro?
Oh, this is my guy Joe and Clark. Uh-oh. This might get hot up in here. How you doing, Joe? I can't be too good. Actually, you must be doing great, aren't you?
No, I'm not doing great. Not after a three-game sweep to Milwaukee.
Uh-oh, Joe. Are you giving me one of these connections that you have on X, man? I'll give you a shot here, but you got to give me a better connection than that, Joe. Please don't do this to me.
I'm just really pissed off. I mean, now McGill's going for an MRI. Bad enough, their pitching is bad right now, and the depth is not great. I mean, I'm at the point now, bring up Christian Scott, bro, if that's the case. You know what? Let me see him. Because right now, I'm telling you, man, it doesn't look good. I mean, and then I got to see Soto on the other side of town going 11 for 13 to start the year. He's not coming to the Mets. So I'm telling you right now, he's going to fall in love with New York Yankees playing there. They're going to pay him. He's going to go there. I don't know, man. Talk me off the ledge, bro, because right now I'm really, really depressed. They're not hitting. I mean, the same guys that are struggling, McNeil's struggling, Lindor, I mean, he looks terrible. I mean, you can't do this. They could not afford to get off to an 0-3 start like this. And now they got Detroit coming in, who's 3-0. I mean, you would think they have the advantage against the Detroit Tigers at home, but I don't know, man. I'm concerned, man. I mean, this is not the way you want it to start.
No, no. Listen, it's hard for me to talk you completely off the ledge. I mean, all I can say is, like I started saying, yes, this is frustrating. This is not the way you want to start it. It's underwhelming. It's nauseating. It's vomit-inducing almost to a certain extent. But it is only three games. There is 159 games left. And as bad as McNeil has been for the better part of, listen, I guess he finished off not so bad last year. But he needs to be better, and you expect him to be better, you know? You expect Francisco Lindor to be better, you know? He is a guy, he had the 30-30-30 last year, you know? Pete Alonso is going to hit his 40 home runs, you would like to think, you know what I'm saying? Francisco Alvarez, who I know is someone...
Alvarez has looked good.
Talk to me about Alvarez. I know you've been worried about him.
No, you're right. He's hitting, I mean, not just hitting home runs. I mean, his swing... He's being more selective up there. He's not just swinging everything. Yeah, I mean, I thought if he takes that next step, and then assuming everyone else plays in the back of the baseball cards, you know, like Nimmo and Lindor and Alonso, and now you got J.D. Martinez, I mean, this could be a formidable offense. But, look, bro, you know and I know that when the weather gets warm, these guys do play much better. Not everybody hits great in the cold weather, let's be honest.
No, I was just about to say that, but you know why I've been fighting myself every time I want to say that? Like, you know, let's not forget these guys came from the warm weather down in Florida, and they come up here and they got to deal with this. Well, Milwaukee's dealing with the same thing. And, you know, and maybe it helps when you're younger and athletic, you know what I'm saying, to be able to do that. What are they doing to be better prepared, you know what I'm saying? And maybe it's easier when you're just coming in and, you know, you're getting out, but it's not like I don't know where they're going next, but... Milwaukee's not much different than we have here. Maybe even colder.
They keep bringing up 22 and saying how that lineup was so, you know. But they got to remember, Nimmo was getting on base. It seems like every game, two, three times a game. Marte was unbelievable. Lindor, I mean, you know, they were getting on base every at bat. Those guys had guys to drive in. They're not, you know, Nimmo's not getting on base. Lindor's done nothing. I mean, you know, and they're pitching. Let's be honest. I mean, was he terrible today? I mean, no, I wouldn't say terrible, but. You know what? When you're not scoring runs, bro, these guys have to basically pitch almost perfect games. They got to get one runner.
Yeah, and that part is scary because I felt like that didn't help the pitching last year either. Feeling like they had to be perfect already, that they were, you know, down because they were missing guys, you know, so they were already undermanned or whatever. But then when the offense is not helping you, and that's also the difference between 2022 and what we saw last year and what we've seen so far in three games this year. Is in 2022, like you said, they would get on base, but they will also take leads.
You remember, bro, they worked the pitchers in 22. Remember this, every game, the fourth inning, those pitchers would have 70, 80 pitches on the other team. I mean, it's just like the approach was different. Now it's like they all go up there. I'm telling you, bro, go back and look. It's unbelievable. But I mean, I don't know, man. I hope, look, they got Detroit now coming in for, I guess, three games? Go sweep them, man. Let me see, you know, show up now. I mean, the weather's going to be lousy this week. I know that. A lot of rain.
Hopefully they play better in warmer weather, right? We're not going to see that for a while now either. We're actually probably going to see even worse weather, but who the heck knows? But Joe, thank you so much for checking in.
No problem, bro. Great job. You know, I love you, bro.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you. Love you back.
All right, bro. Be good.
Have a good night. But yeah, man, and this is, you gotta love Joe, man. And Joe catches a lot of heat on social media and stuff because he tends to be a little bit on the negative side. But listen, if you're a Mets fan, it's hard to find the positives. And my buddy Jack called earlier, touched on something that I say all the time, man. We could talk to each other to a blue in the face about this team, all of our teams as fans, right? And one thing I don't like, which I've mentioned before, and maybe I shouldn't bring it on here, but I'll bring it on here. It doesn't, whatever. Is what I see on social media as soon, and you see it with the Knicks too, with Knicks Twitter, and you see it on Mets Twitter. As soon as the team is not doing well, it goes from talking about the team to going after each other as fans. We gotta be better than that, man. We don't have to agree. We do not have to agree, and we're not going to agree because we're gonna see the same thing different ways. That's just human nature. We're gonna see things the same way. But to try to tear each other apart over the teams that we love. That at the end of the day, we all want the same thing from this team. We want to see success. We want to see success from every team that we root for, whether it be the Knicks, whether it be the Rangers, whether it be the Mets, whether it be the Yankees, if you're a Yankee fan, whatever it is, you want to see success. And time again, you see fans from these fan bases from these teams go after each other when the team is not performing well. And I see that happening on Mets Twitter right now. And to be honest with you, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. And listen, I'm someone who gets fired up. I'm someone who, you know, who gets loud, and I don't mean no offense to nobody. So I get into arguments with people. But I don't take it personal. I don't try to take it personal, and I try not to be personal about it. You know, and, you know, you might walk away, and I don't want to talk to this person right now, or I don't want to tweet with this person right now, back and forth. You know, and you give it a few hours, whatever, and then that's that. And you go back and you have another discussion. And you agree to disagree. But to try to tear each other up, it's just horrible. But let's just try to finish on a positive. And again, we'll try to find a few positives. And the main positive is that the season just started, ladies and gentlemen. As negative as you think I may have been right now to start the show, or maybe for the most part of the show, and you may think, I have not given up. The last thing I do is give up. And I say these, listen, if you like what you're hearing from me here, join me on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I think my handle is @HHEC13, or look up at Hector Washington Heights. Maybe you'll find me that way. And I do post game, what's called spaces, where we talk about the game that just finished and stuff like that. And I do videos and all that stuff. But again, the season's not over. There's a lot to look forward to. And I say that in those spaces. You get frustrated at the end of the game. You come in there, you talk about it. And then usually by the end of the night, you're ready to move on to the next day and let's go get them again. And that's where we are. And you enjoy what you see from Pete Alonso, because people think that Pete Alonso is a 220, 230 hitter. I don't believe that. Pete Alonso could be a 270, 280 hitter. And that's the kind of approach that he seems to be taking this year. And I love that. And I take that positive away. And I'm looking forward to watch him have a dynamite walk season. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to see Francisco Alvarez grow into an all-star catcher this year and go into that middle of the order bat, which I was a little reluctant to start him there, but when I'm seeing Jeff McNeil hit fourth, give me a break, what the hell are we doing here? Carlos Mendoza, John Gibbons, or whoever the hell is writing that lineup. But I'm looking forward to seeing Carlos Mendoza. And now that Tyler McGill has gone down, I'm looking forward to see what I'm going to see from guys that look good. Again, we're talking about spring training. From guys that look good in spring training, and Budo looked good at the end of last year when he figures a few things out. So he'll probably be the first guy to get the call. And Joe mentioned Christian Scott, whom I'm looking forward to, who I think will probably be the next guy to get a call when we need another guy. And I mentioned this before when I was in here with Eric. It's inevitable that we'll see some of these guys, right? But I don't want to see them because we just stink and we're cleaning out, you know, the clubhouse, and we're bringing guys up, you know, just because we're playing out the string. I want to see them because there's a need and they're playing well down there and we're bringing them up and then they excel. And now there's an opportunity for one of these guys. Again, it'll probably be Budo, and we'll be rooting for him. But, let's go out there. Let's get three wins. Touch a little bit on the Yankees. I wanted to touch a little bit more for my Yankee fans and listen. I apologize, man. But shout out to you, man. Handling your business. That's how you start a series. That's how you come out against your rival, where there's question marks. Yeah, there's hope and there's expectations for the Yankees. Probably different expectations than from the Mets. But they came out and they handled business. They had three comeback wins. They get ahead early today. Houston comes back and ties it, and they still go out and win it. And their addition, and Juan Soto comes out, and, you know, Joe gave you the numbers and handles his business. But what are you going to do? Again, it's been fun. Thanks for having me. WDBB Sports of New York, the Burnt Oak Tower has come to a conclusion, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next time. We don't know when that will be, but there will be a next time. Thank you so much. Good night.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.